Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And here we are talking about the stock market on May 22nd, 2012, after this is the discussion of the Facebook IPO. And
they changed the name, by the way, of that. It's now the Fadebook.
Fadebook IPO.
Fadebook IPO, yeah.
Which apparently didn't do so well.
No. I would say that it's the problem was, well, besides some of the problems that are coming to light now, you know, not only did they increase the number of the price of the deal from 28, which was kind of low end, to then 30-ish, then 34s, and then 38 at the high end, right? Not only did they do that, but then they increased the amount of shares that were available at the IPO. So you kind of openly diluted the shares to begin with, and that was last minute stuff, and that really, I guess, didn't sit well with investors. And then the
I didn't know they did that.
Oh yeah, they pumped both sides. Do one or the other. This is the problem. You know, unfortunately, the average investor doesn't get a fair shake. By the way, professionals on these deals don't get fair shakes either. The only one that gets paid off is the top end guys that are getting the fees, who, by the way, in this deal got screwed also. Everybody got screwed on this deal. Zuckerberg did a good job. You know, this is just kind of like Winklevoss 2.
What was Winklevoss 1?
Winklevoss 1 is when he ripped off those guys of Facebook to begin with.
Oh, yeah. Right, stealing the taking the thing for himself.
Now he's pretty much doing the same thing again. He's got 57% of the voting
power.
The guy's
a genius.
Yeah, he's good. He's a math. He's a guy that, you know, anybody that could walk into a major boardroom with a hoodie and then come away with billions of dollars and then screw the public on this deal. He sold a ton of shares at 37. That was planned for in the IPO. But now what happened is that Morgan Stanley tried to hold this deal up at 38, and that didn't last very long. Lasted most of the first day. And then it just collapsed on itself. Now it's trading in the overnight session on Tuesday night about 30 and a half. I actually entered into a position of this for clients, a small position, you know, because figuring that they're going to have to hold it up somewhere around here. I actually thought about probably the 32 to 33 range was the price they'd have to hold it. And then on top of that, they're going to be, you know, because it is such a large names, there's a large stock, it's going to have to be in a lot of the index funds eventually, and you're going to be forced to buy in. And then on top of that, in the first 30 days, when the whole deal gets closed out from the IPO side of things, where they have short the shares on Morgan Stanley because they're protecting their IPO and they're going to have to pump it up and all that, I mean, that there could be a really good pop here. And I would tend to believe, we'll talk about this in a while, that, you know, unless something really weird happens, which also we'll talk about in a second, there is some things that are happening that are odd, that, you know, we should see some stabilization somewhere around here. But, you know, there's a lot of discontent and a lot of people that are very pissed off about this deal.
Yeah, I would think.
Not to mention they screwed up the deal to begin with on the opening. They had to delay it, you know, I don't know how long, 30 minutes or so? 35 minutes? It's like you didn't have enough time to plan and get this thing right, the biggest IPO in the last decade. And NASDAQ is under a lot of scrutiny. So now, of course, the SEC is investigating the NASDAQ. They're investigating Morgan Stanley. They're investigating – I got to tell you something. If it was a business right now, I'd buy into the SEC because they got a lot of business all of a sudden. But at the end, what will come out of it?
Zuckerberg will be loaded and married, apparently. I guess he married his girlfriend from school. So yeah. You probably can't trust anybody else. And the irony, of course, is he set this whole thing up so he could find ways to date girls.
Right.
And then he just does a fallback.
Yeah.
The hell's the point?
Yeah. He's not the best looking guy in the world.
He looks like he's stoned all the time. I mean, when I saw I've seen more than a few pictures of him with red bloodshot eyes. I mean, which just says,
late. I mean, you're
marijuana. Really, red bloodshot eyes. He's got that kind of look and feel. and he's in California. It's not illegal if he has a prescription, and it's not that hard to get one. You want to get one? You just walk into one of these clinics, and there's a doctor sitting there, stoned, and he'll write one for you. It's not a big deal. And I think all the states where it's medical marijuana is legalized is the same way.
Mm-hmm.
I got a bad headache, Doc. Oh, really? Here.
Does the doctor smoke it with you?
If you have, I'm sure he'd be glad to.
Really?
The That'd stuff they of- sell in these places, dispensaries, is it's like ridiculously expensive. It's like the legalized thing hasn't made it cheaper, but they have all these different variations, and it's become like a connoisseur's product, and it's just not the way it used to be when everybody was a kid.
Is it like Amsterdam kind of stuff where you have a selection and a menu?
Yeah. Yeah, only I think it's a little more extreme. And from what I can tell, and I've never gone to one of these places and bought anything, but I've been to Amsterdam enough and I've hung out with enough people that insist on you trying some of these things. It's stuff in Amsterdam's terrible.
Hmm.
The stuff here is ridiculously it just knocks you on your butt, apparently. And I don't know. It just seems to me I've seen Zuckerberg pictures of him, and his eyes have got that funny bloodshot quality of somebody who's smoking a lot of dope.
Well, it obviously made him didn't affect his overall processing and skill set, and you can't take anything away from him.
No,
he's not the poster child for not smoking. Then
it doesn't. I remember when I was at the University of California, we had I was in a co-op dorm. And there was this one kid that was stoned all the time. Stoned all the time. Like major stoned on pot.
Right.
Straight A's.
Nice.
He functioned only apparently when he was stoned all the time. He was like a nervous wreck, I guess, if he wasn't like stoned all the time. He was like an honor student. It was like ludicrous. We were just going, why? We just couldn't figure it out.
Right. Exactly. Well, maybe it was that it was the only guy that could function on. Everybody else was stoned too, and they did like a curve on the score. Everybody else just couldn't handle it.
You know, these companies in San Francisco, there's a lot of stoners. There's a lot of marijuana being smoked in the Bay Area.
Maybe more people should smoke to get things a little bit back on the track here, because it seems like there's a lot of problems out there.
I think
maybe
Bernanke would be my candidate.
Yeah. If anybody would like to smoke with, it'd be Bernanke. He seemed like a real fun guy.
Well, he's got the beard, so he's kind of given it away that he might be a some sort of a dope guy.
Right.
Because, you know, it's like he looks cool with the beard. And so maybe, I don't know. I mean, might be surprised. I mean, I've run into all kinds of people that are all ages and high places that are just essentially stoners. It's like, dude, you know, kind of thing. Mm. You're just a little old to be doing this. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
You won't say that so much in Florida. Believe me, California, tons.
I hear it. So let me tell you, I think I mentioned or I admitted to him, I had a bad computer day. Did I tell you about this?
No.
This is horrible. It's horrible. So I walk into the office and my computer, I never turn my computer off ever. I just don't. I haven't in the last 20-something years.
That's good. That helps the guys that have taken over your machine at night spam the White House.
Well, that's good. I'm good for that. Well, so now
until they bust in.
The computer is just not on. It just won't turn on. Nothing's going on. I push the button. Maybe it's unplugged. Maybe it was a power outage or something. Nope. Yeah. Everything seems to work. So we figure it's the power supply. So we happen to have some power supply extras in the office. They threw a power supply in. I walk in and put it in. And next thing I know, they spark up that puppy and puff of smoke comes out of one of my hard drives.
Ooh,
I'm
cool.
Like, oh, no. I'm like, no.
I had a cap blow up in one of my machines some years ago.
Oh,
capacitor.
Yeah. Oh,
a capacitor cap. A capacitor is what they call them. When those things are extremely, when they blow up, sounds like a shotgun shell going off.
Wow. And what happened? You had to replace the motherboard and all that?
Weirdly enough, it didn't seem to affect the functioning of the machine.
It goes like God. Stoner friend. Maybe something is better for it. You don't know.
It could be. Anyway, go on.
So now we get this little puff of smoke, and next thing you know, you try to do a few things. The hard drives are not spinning. It seems like the motherboard's coming up. Nothing's happening with both the hard drives. They were mirrored. They're just dead. So we don't know what to do. go out, grab a couple of new hard drives, put the new hard drives in. And then fortunately, the way we're set up, that my whole desktop and all that comes up automatically. It's automatically saved to the servers. So that wasn't a big deal. I just had to kind of put a couple of programs on there and a few things that I work with. And no, I didn't lose any data because everything's just there, you know. But that was really weird. I mean, I'm thinking, do I go after the company that has the power, new power supply? And what do you do with something like that?
You don't do anything.
I want my revenge.
Was it a new machine you just bought?
No, I built it.
You built it?
Yeah. So,
and how long ago?
Within the last 6 months.
Well, that's a pretty new machine. No, it's a warranty. You're out of warranty.
But shouldn't a power supply company have some responsibility?
Yeah,
for
they do for the first 90 days or 60 days or whatever.
Just the power supply.
What?
Or just the power supply was new.
Like a week old?
Yeah. Well, a couple weeks old.
Oh, yeah. You know, no, you should have it replaced.
But the power supply works, though. They blew my hard drive.
Well, it cost you all of $30 for the power supply?
$80.
Why it would blow the hard disks up is kind of weird.
And a puff of smoke.
Yeah. Yeah, that's strange.
Smell that comes out with it. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Whoever you bought those power supply is no good. What's the brand?
Antec.
Really? The Antec power supply?
I'm not happy.
Well, I guess not. You should write them.
I'm going to write them. I think that's going to do something to them. I'm going to write them. As a matter of fact, I'm going to direct all the overnight spam to them. That's what I should do. Anyway, so let's get back to the market Fug Fest, as we call it, if you know what I'm saying.
Comments about Greece leaving the euro spooked markets Tuesday.
Yep.
It's going to cost $1 trillion, I understand, if they actually do that.
So that's not that much money. I mean, $1 trillion here or there. What's the difference? Seriously.
This is the weirdest story. They have stalled this. I think as long as we've been doing our show.
Yeah.
A couple of years. All we've heard, well, they're going to take care of it on Monday. Ooh, the deadline. They've made a rock solid deadline on Tuesday. Oh, they're going to, oh, they didn't, oh, they pushed it off. Well, they're going to give it another month. And then on the 1st, they're going to have to do something. How many times have we heard this?
Hundreds.
And now what?
Now they're like, having a dinner tomorrow. Seriously. They're having a summit, which really is a 3-hour dinner, to discuss this. I'm not kidding. I can't make this up. And they're going to come up with something, hopefully. But the problem is Europe is in a no-win situation right now. They have it's a total checkmate. They can't do anything for anybody until after the Greek elections, because they're not going to start pouring money into this deal before they know what's happening with Greece. And basically, Greece is going to have a referendum on whether or not they want to stay in the euro by their elections. They elect and they put the majority. But, you know, the elections will probably somehow go through, but there's going to be another election 2 weeks later. You know, they're going to do something like that. But Greece, in the end of the day, Greece is the smart one in all this. Greece is brilliant. They basically have sucked all this money out of the euro and all that, and basically in a situation, tell them to screw off. And Europe has nothing they could do but basically kowtow to them.
Yeah. Spain is on the border of being the exact same way.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, everybody is...
When I was over there, I've told you this before, I'm floating around Madrid with these guys, and they're all talking about this situation as it was developing. And I said, this is just a big... Because they built up... Spain did the right thing with their money. They put infrastructure in, subways, new buildings, highways. They did all that stuff with the euro money. So it's going to always... That's always going to be there. They can't repossess, a 6-lane freeway.
That's hard.
Yeah, it's too much work. And so they, no matter what happens, they still have this infrastructure. So Spain really handled it well. I don't know that Greece did that. I don't know what happened to the money. I think they just gave it to their... retirees. I'm not sure.
Ouzo.
Yeah. Ouzo.
That's what it was. But now this double talk, this whole thing about how, oh, here we are, you know, when there's a discussion that, hey, Papademos says, you know what, it's going to be a big disaster. We're leaving the euro, you know, potentially, you know, if this happens. And then at the end of the day, oh, nope, I deny saying that. The same thing, North Korea. North Korea is denying planning a nuclear weapons test. While his reports indicated that it's upgrading its rocket launch site. Now, if you haven't seen the movie Dictator, Okay, this is I'm not going to give you away the whole movie, but there's a part in the movie where he's standing up there, okay, this dictator. And he says, you know, we're going to do all these things, and of course we're using nuclear for peaceful measures. And he giggles to himself. He can't hold himself back. You know, he says, and it's going to be for peaceful energy use. And he's giggling and stuff, you know. He's standing in front of his people saying all this. Real, you know, it's the same thing. We're going to use this for peaceful intentions.
Yeah.
You know? You do have to see. I recommend the movie highly. It was very, very funny. It was if you have any kind of sensitivity towards political insensitivity, gender insensitivity, religious insensitivity, don't go to see it.
Yeah, well, that's
you know,
that's the way. What's the name of the actor?
I forget at the same time. His name is
he was just on Letterman the other night. He's a very funny guy.
He'll come to us.
Yeah.
Ali,
Ali's the character he plays. Sacha Baron Cohen.
Yeah, right.
He's got a good Jewish name, and you should have remembered.
Sorry. Oh, like I said, if anybody has any religious sensitivity,
don't go.
So Dell, I don't know if you looked at the earnings on Dell. We need a. Do you happen to have like a maybe a horse clopping sound or something like that? We could like think about the coffin being taken down the road. By do you have something like that?
I think that's the only sound effect I can do here.
It's clopping, huh?
I do have the horse clopping. Ready?
Yeah. Oh, getting so pathetic. Oh, it's going in the distance. It's in the distance now. I see that. Look at that. Look at that. That's unbelievable. That's great. So now
I'm working on it.
I felt that distance in the sound there.
Yeah.
So disappointed on earnings. It came out with 3 cents lower than estimates, and the outlook was grim. That's the only way I could describe it. Stock was off 7% at first, then 8 and 11. Some about 12% overnight. And it's blaming lagging laptop sales due to, quote, alternative products. Can't even say the name. It's like, don't say it. Don't say it. iPod. iPad. Don't say it, you know? And the wait for the Windows 8. They're saying that the people are not spending because they're waiting for the Windows 8, which has been
That's bull crap.
Well, it's been highly touted. It's been talked about, all this great stuff. And the problem is, don't they keep putting off Windows 8 a bit?
No, like the it's on track.
On track?
Yeah, I think so.
When's it supposed to come out?
Because I don't know. It's on track, though. It's going to end of 2012 or within the next 6 months, I think. I mean, it's ready to go, largely. It's just a few bugs that need to be corrected. I don't know why anyone's waiting for it. It's not that good.
A few bugs need to be corrected. Since when did that stop Microsoft putting out a product?
Well, that's a good point.
Also blaming Asia and poor sales execution.
That last little comment that we're at the end of their list. Poor sales execution. That was the problem.
Yeah, right. They kind of did one of these discussions where it's lagging laptop sales, wait for Windows 8. Also blaming Asian poor sales execution. Right? Keeping it low and muffled.
They might as well blame terrorists.
Yeah, well, and the pirates in the African waters. Let's not forget about them. But it's pretty sad, I mean, what's going on there. I mean, does anybody – Michael Dell came back to try to restructure this whole deal, and I don't think
he's changed the company substantially. It's not really a computer company anymore. It's more – he's trying to make it a services company like IBM.
So what he's done is he's gone from a
– so his numbers are going to be slightly skewed from what they once were. So when you look at Dell numbers, you're looking at the wrong thing if you're thinking it's still Dell.
I understand that. But what he's done is he's taken a computer company that was being pretty much taken over and taken out by other companies from the competition, and a company that was basically insignificant – to now a services company that is becoming insignificant. Just a thought.
Maybe. What's the symbol?
D-E-L-L.
Oh, duh. That's a tough one.
You know IBM symbol?
Let me think.
When's the 4th of July?
Yeah, okay. I'm getting the joke. Huh? I don't see that the stock... Okay, the stock... Well, Yeah, it seems to be in a trading range of between 1450 and 1850. It goes up and down and up and down. Looks like a great stock for somebody who really knows how to day trade.
It doesn't move that much on a daily basis.
Well, not since January, but if you look at the throughout the 11th, I mean the 2011.
Yeah. Well, everything.
It was all over the. Yeah, you're probably right. Yeah, right. This one here, most recently, it started going up in January. It went up to about $18 and change. And then just ratcheting down very slowly.
I want to show you another chart. I put one here, but since you're on a chart program, coal has been absolutely just taken to the cleaners over the last, I don't know, several months. Most of the coal companies, the big coal companies, have just had the roughest time. Part of it has to do with the Green Initiative, right? Trying to shut down all the polluting, dirty fuels that
are... Yeah, they're either trying to shut them down, or actually what they're really trying to do is run the price of the stocks down so they can get in later.
Maybe. This one is a stock that went down. Check out PCX, Patriot Coal.
Oh, yeah. That's one of your favorite stocks.
Not really.
Holy crap.
That stock was down about 60% today at one point.
It was down 35%. Well, 35% says here. So Patriot Coal on July of 2011 was sitting around $25, and now it's at $2 and change, $2.18.
$1.50 for a while today.
To what? $1.50 today. It hit $1.50?
Right about there. It was ugly.
Okay, well, let's see what we got here. That's an interesting speculation.
Is that we looked at it to try to maybe see if there was something we could buy.
The peg is minus 31. I mean, you can't even – it's unbelievable.
The problem here is that now they're going – there was a discussion about them doing a restructuring. And then there was how bad of a restructuring? I mean, is this bankruptcy restructuring? What are we talking about? And then there was some rumor about other things in the stock was just getting – I mean, just coming down all day, clip after clip after clip. It just kept it coming down.
Hmm.
And then it was halted. There was some news pending. And the news was that they came into about a $625 million revolving credit line that was approved. The problem was that we later find out that that news was from May 8th. So that news was bogus. So the stock run – I don't know if you can – well, if you look at maybe a 10-minute chart or something, stock runs up from down 60% on the open, you know, where it opened back up. Down – it was about 275 or 280. So it came back like, you know, 70% or something like that. And then it just rolled back down the rest of the day. You know, I mean, not as bad as it was at one point, but it was pretty ugly.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah, all the other coal companies, most of the other coal companies.
You actually could have picked it up at about $1.40, and within, I don't know, an hour, doubled your money because it almost hit 280.
I'm saying. It was ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was right. And part of that hour, it was halted, by the way.
Ah.
So you would have been stuck in that position, not knowing what to do, and then you're just going to open back up.
These things sound great on paper, I know. Then you the guy, you can see it there on the volume, is like zero. It looks like they shut it down, and they let it go for a second, and the volume shot up, and they shut it down again. It looks like it was shut down twice, if I'm looking at this correctly.
It was shut down twice. It came into the 10% move rule.
Oh, then they shut it down.
I'll cool it off for a little while and see what happens. So this is really going to be a problem for the realization of this. The realization of the problem with coal is going to be a problem for many of the commodity countries like Australia, Brazil, and also the other coal companies. There's a real question about the earnings capability of them and how far they're going to be able to, you know, how well they're going to do with this. I mean, ANR is another one that has been really hurt lately. Alpha Natural Resources, a coal company. The big question is, you know, that I have is this, you know, part of it's because of natural gas. Part of it is because natural gas came down so incredibly low that a lot of places switched over from coal to natural gas. Then you have to start wondering about that. You know, natural gas is a cleaner burning fuel. Was that a big planned design to, you know, create an open spigot flow? And that's kind of interesting. And then on the other hand, you wonder, okay, well, all the other clean energy initiatives – it didn't work so well by the government, that were supposed to create jobs, which really didn't. Are they going to really do so and at the same time cut jobs from this other side? I mean, isn't it kind of like you're going to create all these great jobs, but what about the people that are working on the coal mines now?
Yeah. Virginia, Kentucky. A&R came down from like about almost $55 a share to 11.
Terrible. I mean, absolutely terrible. So what's going on there? Now, you want to talk a little bit about Facebook? We can talk about Eurobonds. We can talk about...
Facebook. Eurobonds, I don't know too much about. I haven't kept up. I'm just
Facebook fiasco, because it's getting a lot of press.
Yeah, no, a lot of negative press. And a lot of... There's a good article by one of the writers over at MarketWatch today where the guy just slammed Facebook, its whole scheme of things, and it was like, wow. I mean, it was meaner than anything I could put together.
Really?
Yeah, it was really good. I was going, wow, this guy's really slamming them.
Take lessons from that guy. Yeah. So what was the basic synopsis of it?
The basic synopsis of his article was that it's stupid to begin with. And it's a rude company. They don't give a crap about their users. And he just went on and on. It was just actually quite interesting. And most of it was valid.
Sounds like a guy that has no friends on Facebook.
I think he, yeah, well, probably. Oh, he doesn't use it. I mean, he's like, I don't use Facebook.
I mean, there's a lot of people that have a lot of use for Facebook.
Yeah, you know, really? Who and why?
Well, whoever it is. I mean, I know that my wife uses Facebook a lot for business. A lot. I mean, you could look up a lot of information. She sells advertising for magazines. And
yeah, I saw her on LinkedIn.
Oh. Are you friends? Or
not
linked?
Yet, no. I was going to send her a note saying you should add me to your network, but Andrew would get irked.
Oh, I don't.
You don't even use LinkedIn, do you?
Well, who's going to hire me? What am I? I'm not going to be ever on the job market. I mean, there's other reasons for it. I understand. I think I have something on LinkedIn. I think. Maybe not. I own the stock.
I use it as a mailing list. These people are all potential No Agenda and DH Unplugged listeners.
True.
You take and you download the entire LinkedIn contact list that you have there, all the people that you know or don't know, or if they ask you to join them, there's fans at least. And then every so often you send them a mailing, not that often, you don't want to abuse it, once every quarter, you know, telling them what you're up to and that they should go listen to the shows.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
Oh, it would probably be good if my wife ever listened to the show, so definitely friend her.
Yeah, okay. Well, she'll go, who?
Yeah, she'll know you. Yeah. That the guy you do the podcast with on Tuesday evenings?
When she's British?
British? Oh, no. That was my Midwestern Jewish wife.
Yeah, it sounded more like the Monty Python woman.
Oh, that's good. Maybe you shouldn't friend her. Anyway, so here's the deal. So the NASDAQ messes this deal up. Now, an official told customers that if they would have known, they should have pulled the Facebook initial public offering if it really saw some of the full extent of its technical problems. Now, shares of Facebook are off by about 9% on the third day of trading or so. And there's reports that are indicating an analyst at Morgan Stanley trimmed sales outlook before the offering. And the important part here is two points. Number one, that they trimmed outlook before the opening. And the second point is that it was Morgan Stanley who was the lead underwriter on the deal. Now, Massachusetts is in a tizzy. They're subpoenaing Morgan Stanley over its handling of the sensitive information because it seems that they only gave that information out to certain clients. Mm. That they cut the revenue outlook on Facebook just before the IPO, and only certain institutions got wind of this. Now, the problem is, it wasn't ability to really short the shares per se, on the outside. So that would what? That would keep away maybe some institutions from keeping interest up. Now, why the hell would Morgan Stanley do that if they're going to be on the hook for all this? They probably blew all their underwriting fees in trying to keep the stock up to begin with.
Yeah, that would be my guess.
So why are they going to start? What kind of an underwriter trims their forecast? I mean, because it's possible that you have an honest underwriter that's going to do that. But let's talk about reality. Morgan Stanley is not going to do that, or they shouldn't have done that, I should say. under, you know, most, I mean, who knows if they can get, I don't even know. The whole thing is a mess, really a mess. So now with issuing too many shares, raising the price too high, and then cutting down their revenue outlook, the whole thing's just a disaster. I think it's a screaming buy now then.
You think it's a screaming buy now?
Kidding. I thought there was going to be some holding it up about the 32-33 range I mentioned, but what I do think is that think about this. There was so much hype going into it and such a frenzy. Come on. I mean, it was ridiculous, right? That everybody wanted it. So all the mom and pops took 50 shares, 100 shares. Then they get clipped a little bit after the IPO. The first thing they do is they sell. They're just out. They're not going to hold on to this. They're freaking out. They were supposed to make 200% on the first day of their IPO, the first time they ever can get some of this. And the thing flops, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that doesn't work. You have the teenagers and the first-time investors who all love Facebook. So what they do is they go buy Facebook. They lose money. They take the money out. Now there's so much negativity, which is almost the absolute inverse of how much positive notes there were prior to the IPO, which really piped it up and all that. And there's so much negativity now that you would think that it's almost like flushed through the system, that it's so bad that it really, how much worse can it get at this point? It can get a lot worse, I suppose, but I'm just saying it seems...
Yeah,
like,
17.
Yeah, true. True. 28 was the initial number they had for the IPO, by the way.
That would have been dynamite.
Exactly. Maybe even 32, 34, but don't issue more shares in the meantime. The reason why they issued more shares was because the underwriter tried to convince them to do so they can get more fees, of course. And by raising the price, it convinced more of the insiders that it was, you know, it convinced them, hey, you know what? We'll raise the price. You sell some more shares on the market. We'll raise the price and the market will suck it all up. That's how the whole thing went down.
Well, the whole thing did go down.
That's correct. That's correct. Okay, on to German 2-year bonds. So these are treasuries of Germany?
Yeah.
You know what their current yield was today on the offer?
No.
Zero.
Zero yield?
There you go.
They're really packing them in.
They did pack them in. That's the point.
Yeah. Well, it's looked at as a safe bet.
Safe bet. You know, what's your yield? Nothing. They actually
have discussion. But you don't have your money still there, supposedly.
Right. You don't have principal. Well, in theory, again, you don't have principal risk because you have, you know, Germany backing it.
Right. And the likelihood of it going to negative is zero.
Right.
So it's like it was actually a good investment for people that have a lot of money. They just want to make it stay there.
Especially if you want to invest in the euros and especially if you want to be in Europe. But there was a discussion. They were talking about possibly issuing negative yield bonds today.
Hmm.
And how that would happen is, let's say you have a 1% bond and a 2-year deal. And let's say that it's priced at 100. Well, there would be so much demand that maybe they'd price it at 101. 102. So you'd buy it at over premium and you get a zero to negative.
Yeah, you give them 102 bucks, you get 100 back.
Yeah.
Yeah. What a. that's something to think about.
It's like going to the casino. It's like putting the money in the. It's like exactly putting your money in a slot machine and having a 98% payout.
Right.
Oh, gosh. So I put a. A lot of things to talk about. You want to talk about the IPOs so far in 2012 and how they did from around the world? I have a whole spreadsheet I sent you.
Oh, yeah. I didn't see it. Hold on. Let's see if I can find it. IPOs. I don't see a spreadsheet. I see PCX, Brand Z, and IPO. Okay, that's it. It's a PDF.
Sorry. Let me look at it at the same time and download it.
We're about six professional. I got an old one on here. I keep refusing to upgrade it.
Six?
Six.
A little bit behind there.
Yeah.
So this is the initial public offerings for 2012, the IPOs 2012, year-to-date performance from IPOs around the world. One page here shows the losers, how they've done since their IPO date and their IPO price to the current price. And then the next page shows the winners. This is from all around the world. China's leading the pack with the losers.
Yeah.
Chengdu, Luoyang.
Except for the one top winner.
Yeah, they got both sides.
Yeah.
Western Securities Corporation up 105%. Guidewire is up 100%. Splunk. What is Splunk? Do you use Splunk? What is that?
No. Mm-mm.
I don't know. It's a, some kind of.
It's up 86%. That's a good thing. Universal Scientific Industrial, another Chinese stock, up 52%. Caesars Entertainment. I thought they were already public.
Came out again. They went back and came back out.
Oh, okay.
And then Vantive, Jishi Media, Shanghai. Yelp, that's done well this year. What's other ones that we know about here? A lot of China stuff here. A lot of New York on there. But that's a bit about it for the big names, right? Poseidon Concepts. That's not a name of something that usually goes up, Poseidon.
No, no.
Usually a ship that's upside down with a big fat woman trying to swim through a hole. Remember that movie?
Yeah.
Great. Let's see. Everbank. Everbank is interesting. That was, if I'm not mistaken about Everbank, they are a bank that you can hold your money outside the, you know, in the U.S. with foreign currencies. And I think they have some gold.
Well, that's, because I'd rather have my money in Swiss francs.
Yeah. Retail Properties of America up 10%, but that's about it, you know. Then we get down to the losers list. Facebook is the number three. That was with the current price of 31.08. It's currently about 30.50 on the overnight session. It did pop up and then came back down, and then came back down from there. Then you have, let's see here.
Oak Tree Capital, Carlyle Group.
Yeah, they're back out, I guess. Down 5%. Not that big of a deal, 5% here. But the Allison Transmission Holdings. Now, I don't know if that's something to do with internet / radio or if that has something to do with the car transmissions. I really don't know.
Well, Allison, well, that's a good – well, let's look. A-L-S-N.
I'm thinking it has to – let's think. Let's before we look, let's see. I think it has something to do with Allison Transmission Holdings. I would think that it has something to do with maybe with radio towers.
Mm-hmm.
I'm probably terribly wrong about this.
Here we go. I'm going to tell you in a second. Or maybe I'm not.
It is.
Together with subsidiary engages in design and manufacture commercial and military fully automatic transmissions.
There you go.
You were right the first time.
Systems for transit buses.
Yeah, buses. Buses and army tanks. The company's fully automatic transmissions are used on highway trucks, buses, motorhomes, off-highway vehicles and equipment, and military vehicles. It also sells branded replacement parts.
It was formerly known as Clutch Holdings, and the company was founded in 1915 and is headquartered in Indianapolis, Indiana, and it has a plant in Steingen-Gotthard, Hungary.
Steingen-Gotthard, Hungary. That's a funny. That's an old school company.
It looks like it went out of business and came back.
Yeah.
It was Clutch Holdings priorly.
Clutch Holdings.
Transmission Holdings, Clutch Holdings. What will be next? Windshield Wiper Holdings? You know, I mean, after they go out of business this time.
Somebody's got to make these things.
Yeah, I agree. Somebody's got to make them, then they go out of business, then come back. Let's see here. Let's talk about existing home sales. We're up. Oh, insider purchases. I know you like insider purchases. I thought that was interesting. So there's an old saying on Wall Street about insider buying. I took this from, I think this was New York Times or somewhere. It said that there are many possible reasons to sell a stock, but only one reason to buy. Back on February 6th, Patriot Coal's director, Robert O. Vietz, invested $18,320 in 2,000 shares of Patriot for a cost of about $9.16 each. And bargain hunters tend to pay particular attention to insider buys like this one because presumably the only reason an insider would buy and take their hard-earned money to buy it is to, you know, think that the company is going to do well.
Which not if you buy just 2,000 shares.
It's a ridiculous number. Ridiculous.
$9. Most of these guys splurge when they see something going up.
So maybe he was doing this for a tax
Yeah, it's probably some scam, yeah.
New Skin and Herbalife are still getting hit hard if you look at those stocks, NUS and HLF. And I guess this kind of tells you what kind of market we're in right now. It's the shoot first, ask questions later market, because we hear some kind of inkling that Einhorn's invested some time into looking at Herbalife and the stock just gets plowed. And Nu Skin along with it, because it has the same basic marketing and corporate structure.
Yeah, whatever happened to that meeting? What did Einhorn finally come out and say?
As a matter of fact, we went in long right before that meeting. We made about 20% because he didn't say anything. And we closed the position.
Huh.
As the day went on and as it got closer and closer to him going on, Herbalife was up about like 3, 4, 5%. He goes on. And as he's talking and getting closer to the conclusion of his comments, and there's nothing said about Herbalife, the stock is starting to really move up. And then he closes, and the stock is up like, I don't know, 14% or 12, 13, 14% from where it was in low. And I was just waiting for the old Steve Jobs, one more thing. You know, I was waiting, figuring he's going to have to come out and say something about Herbalife, just to, you know, is why he was on the call, what he's looking at. Nothing was said. These guys are still, you know, it's still a big mystery what he was doing on that call and if he's actually short.
Huh. Well, okay.
Let's see. A U.S. Airways jetliner flying from Paris to Charlotte was diverted to Maine.
Yeah.
They have to tell me what is wrong and right about this, okay? After apparently a mentally unstable French passenger announced he had a surgically implanted device.
Yeah. Well, this is a great story. It's hilarious. You okay?
It's ridiculous. And what is that? First of all, mentally unstable French passenger. That's an oxymoron. Or maybe it's not an oxymoron. Maybe that's a simile. I guess it's more like a simile.
I have no idea. Whatever. Somebody's on the thing. She's real nervous. Everyone's all upset, and she says she's got a bomb stuffed in her, you know, under her skin somewhere. Then they land in an emergency. Nothing happens, of course. This whole thing is just a, I don't know. I have no idea.
Funny. It's not funny. It's scary as hell. It's horrible. But it was just, you know, what people would think about. Obviously got past the scanners, didn't it?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's going to if it's inside you.
And then the big issue right now is back to this underwear bombing. There was another underwear plot uncovered.
Oh, was there?
It was like 2 weeks ago. It was foiled.
No, that's the one that everyone's upset about because it wasn't supposed to be revealed. The timing wasn't good.
Right. And now the big question is, you know, the limitation on pat-downs. I mean, you can't pat down that area, right?
Well, you could.
Woo! Don't. I the whole thought of somebody blowing up their crotch is just way too much to think about.
Yeah, I agree.
I found some interesting sites for after hours info. If you want to look at like what's going on an after hours basis with stocks, pre-market, after hours, I put them there. There's one at the stockmarketwatch.com.
Yeah.
And you can click on that. Tell me what you think about that. There's also NASDAQ has one, NASDAQ.com, the extended trading after hours, most active. I'll put these links on the DH Unplugged website. So we have it there.
Okay, good. Stock Market Watch after hours trading.
Cool one. I like.
Looks like a Market Watch layout. I stole it.
No, I think.
What?
You do it from Market Watch.
Stock Market Watch. This is a Stock Market Watch. I think this is a clone.
Maybe they. That's interesting. I thought I saw something here that said they do this for MarketWatch.
Oh, well, no? Maybe they do, but I don't. Well, let me see where that would be.
It does look like MarketWatch.
Yeah, it looks totally. It's a clone. It's a copy.
Hmm.
Huh. Funny.
Maybe I shouldn't give
them a plug. Yeah, it's, you know, I think it's legal. Okay, after hours, Dow Jones, gold, silver. Yeah, this looks, I guess, is okay.
Hmm. And they stole stuff from FinViz. You know what? I'm taking it all back. Now that I say don't, everybody's going to go. You know that, right?
So you think they took from FinViz and MarketWatch to create this? It looks like a FinViz bunch of charts, that I will say.
Yes, it is FinViz. It says right on top, FinViz.
Oh. Well, maybe this is FinViz's thing.
You could use FinBiz's site. They don't mind you using their charts.
No.
As long as you could just paste their stuff, and it's actively live.
Yeah, it does say FinBiz everywhere. Yeah, I know. It's great. All right. So that's out.
Go there.
What's the other one? NASDAQ.
Yeah, the NASDAQ one is actually has some good things. This was a better layout, but whatever. Yeah, the NASDAQ.com and the extended hours area, it's under market activity. And extended hours is pre-market activity, after hours activity, and they have most advanced, most declined. And they put little logos in there.
Yeah, the logos are cute.
Glue Mobile. There you go. One of the most active after hours.
Your favorite.
Why it's doing so well. Take Two had a horrible report, but they seem to be doing very well. Let's see, most declined after hours. Dell down 12.73% after hours.
Dell's at a good price.
Down 1.61%. Westport down 1.3%. Mako, that's
another
horrible.
I'm going long Dell.
Long Dell.
Yeah.
Okay. I do. I like it a lot. I think it's great.
Well, I haven't been hitting anything recently, and I've noticed one thing about my picks. I'm best on the short side.
So you're going to go long Dell?
Yeah.
Just checking.
Yeah, just, you know. I got no short side. What I should do is short Dell and then go long when it's down to 9.
Right.
All right, let's short Dell.
How about you go long and short Dell? You can't be wrong. All right.
Let's take a look at our stocks.
Look at our stocks. Let me open that up. Let's see here. Okay, a few things got stopped out. Let's just do that first. And let me say that this is just a game. You're probably tired of me saying this, everybody.
No, you have to say it, I think.
Not an offer or a solicitation to buy or sell any security. You are not looking at recommendations. This is only a game that we play. We come up with some ideas of what may be good to look at over the near term. And we kind of talk about why it would be good. It's more of an educational process, some of the things that we're thinking. And a little bit of a challenge between John and myself. So use your own research. Use your advisor. Don't go by anything we say. And, again, it's just a game. There is nothing else involved here.
Yeah, there's nothing involved. There's no pride or anything to worry about. And, of course, you...
No pride to worry about. What do you mean?
Because
who's pride?
My Facebook pick, which was stopped out instantly.
Yeah, oh, I see what you mean. Yeah, that was quick.
I didn't even show up. It's like, bye. Thanks for playing.
Up a little bit, though. You went up a little bit, a few percent, and then it just came shooting.
Yeah, well,
down.
I think it's actually good. I actually prefer seeing that than it running up and doubling. Then we know we're in trouble, it just as a whole with all these IPOs. This puts a damper on things, which needs to be done.
Puts a little bit of reality in the thing, huh?
So if we take a look at this, we have a few buys that were just killers, and one of them actually at the top of the list is Monster Beverage is the best pick you've done. And your pro short buy is actually a short because it's a buy of a short and ETF. So that doesn't really count as a buy, but it's what it shows here. And then the other good buy was Icon Enterprise still going up. The other buys are all crapping out. The shorts are doing well. Cliffs Natural Resources way up. It's one of your shorts. And then, of course, God knows what the deal is with HP, but it's just beautiful. And then a couple of buys by me for Cracker Barrel, which is up just dead money right now. The medical marijuana thing is up a little bit. Cool.
Think about that. You were down like 40% on that.
Yeah. Maybe I should have bought down there. It's only 6 cents. It's a penny stock. And how much money can you lose? You can just lose all of it. Why would it go down? Goldman Sachs, short, excellent. JP Morgan, short, up. Apple. Somebody shorted Apple and it's actually in the green. Huh, who is that? It was me.
Fantastic. That doesn't happen at all, really.
Yeah.
You don't go, it's not worth it. But you mastered the trade.
Yeah, well it's making its comeback. I think it's gonna jump up again. The real short for Apple is a ways away.
Mm. Yeah, let's talk about Activision Blizzard. Is your son in the area?
Well, here's the problem with that. Actually, now is the time. Well, it's actually not down that much, but that's still a good buy. What happened was this thing was so popular that it crashed all their servers. And there were some other issues. And so it became, and this all the street heard about. Oh, these guys are suck. And so the thing took a, it tanked. But it, when they, I'm assured by my son and his genius stock market trading friend in the Ukraine that once people get wind of how the, what these numbers are going to look like because of some new schemes they've put in place, this baby is going to skyrocket.
So it would have been better in a way if there was less sales and they didn't take down the servers.
I don't think they expected that this was going to happen. Mm. It wasn't like there was predictable.
So you think that the powers that be that we call institutions just looked at the fact that the servers crashed and decided that's it. They didn't look into it any further to see why they crashed, and they sold their stock off.
That's the theory.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Yeah. You think it's not possible that they're brain dead, some of these guys?
I'm not saying that. Are you asking me to take the bet between the institutional guys and the guy from the Ukraine? I'm sure. That's not the point. The point is that I just wonder. Well, first of all, you have to also realize that when we did this, you were in a big stock market downtrend, right?
Yeah.
It's a week ago. The market got crushed last week. And it came back on Monday. That was it. And today, things weren't so good. So, you know, you have to look at it that way. But at the same time, I just do wonder, with the fact that if there was such a high demand for the game, regardless of whether they're, I mean, if the service came down for a day or something like that, I can understand that people get a little spooked and they're wondering what's going on like that. But the second or third day, if there was such a demand and the surge was the breakdown was because of a surge in play, and if Activision has a reasonable explanation and ability to control that somehow, then it's not like all of a sudden the sales went down. You know, the guys that bought the game that are playing online aren't going to just ditch it. So, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what happens. I mean, obviously, we'll see. The proof will be in the pudding. The next earnings announcement, right?
Yeah.
So, we'll see. Now, what's the next one on the list? Can you read that? It's hard. It's a little fuzzy here.
Facebook.
What is this one? I don't know if that's yours or mine. Let's see here. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Fortunately, there's no pride involved here.
40. So, you shorted Facebook. You got the. This is the luckiest trade I've ever seen you make in doing the show for over 2 years. You not only hit the thing on the money, but you called the 2 hour the 2 hour call, so you were within a buck or two, I think, of the top. Just out of a blue, the day before a blue sky call, 2 hours and then short, nailed it.
Remember when I first said, let's do it. I'll do it 1 hour later, and then I changed my mind and said, do it 2 hours later because I figured there'd be higher demand for this one. I don't know. The 1 hour later was still up, but I think it.
Yeah, you would have made out on the 1 hour later too, but the fact that you called two, this shows you that this, to me, and, you know, there are people that trade in the market and they really go by their gut a lot of times when they hit some home runs. This shows that you can do that. I mean, that's why you're such a good picker. But it also just says, geez, I mean, this is bull crap that, you know, some guy, it's just like gambling.
All right, I'll go with that. But you know what? Either way was a gamble. I mean, we could have gone either side.
No, it could have gone either way. But you nailed it, and I didn't, and I would remind people that he's better at this than I am. And I hit a couple of shorts once in a while that are kind of off the wall, which he'd never do, Netflix. But at the same time, when it comes to like a showdown, the OK Corral thing, the two guys pretty much have the same deal in front of them, you know, you won big, and I think it's still going to go down. Now you're reversing it, which I'm very skeptical of.
I'm going to reverse it, and the reason for that is, first of all, that it is a game, and second of all, because it appears to me that there is so much incredible negativity and sentiment has just really dropped off here that, you know, it may still continue down a little bit from here. So let's say that we're in the overnight session of about 30-50 or so. I mean, I think that, you know, right around the mid-range of the original IPO price, the 28 to 32, so it's 30, seems like a reasonable area. I mean, again, I thought it would be about 32 to 33 was going to be the kind of the zone, and we kind of added to it around there. But at the same time, I think that the fact is that you know, the bottom line, you know, it go anywhere, but 30 seems to be like a point that they'll hold it. But we'll see. We'll definitely see. And the big issue right now is, of course, the mobile media, and that's a big – mobile presentation, that's a big issue. How are they going to, you know, get money producing mobile sites and the ads and all that? Big question about what's going on with Morgan Stanley. Did they really downgrade the revenue beforehand? So all these things swirling around, and not to mention – that every single person, including us, spends an inordinate amount of time talking about this fakakta stock. A little Yiddish in there for
you. You know, on the, I think it was on the last Leo Laporte show Scobola was on, and he said that he knows for a fact that Facebook has some fancy mobile scheme afoot that they will use to pump the stock back up.
I mean, I'm pretty certain they have to have something cooking. Then, if we know that there's a problem with the mobile, and we know that they're having a lot of additional mobile apps, and you take the fact that Dell's earnings pointed to the fact that mobile solutions, tablets / phones, are a big reason why they're losing money. Obviously, this company is going to be wise to the fact that they're bleeding a little bit on that side, or at least not collecting as much as they could, and they're going to do something about it. I mean, it's obvious.
Yeah. Well,
question. Whether advertise will hold on. So I'm going to reverse the trade tomorrow on the open.
And you're going to close out the other position.
The other position and open up.
I think that's within the rules.
Because it's going to be, otherwise I'll be flat on both sides.
Right. So I think if you can do, I think our rules, which are made up as we go along, which is a 10% thing, you can reverse the position. You still have to have an interest in the stock. So it, technically you go back and forth and back and forth if you thought you were that good.
And then I'm also going to add Pandora Media. This is a little bit of a flyer. We like the stock only because it is so, it's also the same thing, the negativity surrounding the stock. There's about a, looking for about a 2 to 3 cent loss for this quarter. They're coming out with earnings tomorrow night. And stock has been basing out right in this area, right about the $10 area. Now there is some downside risk here, about probably, you know, good 10-15%.
Yeah.
On the downside for some support, but the upside, if it does break out, it goes to 12, in my opinion.
Maybe. Now, I'm going to put Dell short on this one.
Short.
And I was, first inclination was to go long as like a bounce. But then I think I'm going to change my mind.
Okay. So, I gotcha. Okay. Anything else?
No.
Dell short. I got it. Okay. All right, good. Sounds good. Very, very good.
All right. What do you think is going to happen in the next few days?
I think that there's going to be an overhang coming into tomorrow, and it's going to be a disappointment. I think that's pretty much built in. The euro does. If the euro continues going down, it's going to be a big problem. You have a Memorial Day weekend, which is an issue. You know, this is now coming on that stupid special time that I always talk about, the last week of the year, going to the of the month, going into the next month. The thing is that you have managers are way behind right now. You know, everybody bulked up on stocks and they just got obliterated this month. Just, I mean, the S&P's down 7% for the month, I think. Pretty bad month. And Russell's down 8% or so, something like that. And, you know, the internationals are down even more. The thing is that I think that you'll see a little bit of a performance chase the last week. So that's next week. Into the end of this week, next week. But I don't think a lot of people are going to put a lot of bets on the table going into Friday. Because there's a long weekend, a lot of things can happen over in Europe, and you know, you have the Monday off here. So I think that people are going to be laying low, not a lot of buying. And the problem is with lack of liquidity in the market, that's going to kind of weigh on things. And if there is some, if there's no news that's good, if there's negative economics, or if there is something that goes to the negative side, it can be really rough because we're in a very slippery zone right now in the S&P, very slippery. Not saying that like flippantly. We're in a zone of very low volume here in this probably 40-point range on the S&P, and it can go either way very quickly as it did Monday. You know, went flying up Monday with no volume.
All right. Okay, well, we'll keep an eye on that. And
check out the live blog on Friday. Were you there at all?
No, I didn't. I was going to, but then I had something else to do.
The fun. A lot of page hits. A lot of people coming on. Huh. All right, well, I'll see you next week.
All right, yeah, next week. We'll talk again on Tuesday.
See you soon. Bye.
Bye.
Oh, yeah. Oh, over here. Oh.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, 'cause I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pocket, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a man. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, 'cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.